The sermon for today is based on the Old Testament text for the fourth Sunday of Advent, Year C, in the three-year lectionary. The reading is from the book of Micah, chapter 5, reading from verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labour has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. What an amazing prophecy we have here, recorded from the words of Micah, spoken sometime at the end of the 8th century BC. In this time of Advent, as we prepare to celebrate the coming of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, we can see clearly through the eyes of faith the connection to this text. I imagine it would have been heard quite differently by the people when it was spoken, though. Picture this. You're an Israelite in Judah at the time of Micah. The northern kingdom of Israel, which had separated from the tribe of Judah after King Solomon's death, has been judged according to their deeds. They've been invaded, and the people taken away and dispersed throughout the land. The enemies responsible are now surrounding the kingdom of Judah. The Davidic line holds there, and you remember God's promise to David that his offspring shall always be on the throne. But the kings have not been keeping their end of the bargain, and it seems that the same fate awaits you. Enter Micah. Many of his words seem to affirm your fears. The leaders in Judah have abandoned the ways of God. The priests have been charging for their services, giving false words of comfort in the name of God that originate from themselves to line their pockets. Idolatry is rife. The king has been seeking aid from pagan nations against God's command, and the wealthy continually oppress the poor. Judgment will be coming. But amongst this oracle of judgment, there is a message of hope. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel. Hang on, you think. Bethlehem Ephrathah? Some tiny little town miles from the safety of Jerusalem? The bustling capital is a fortress of a city, the place still holding against the enemies of the people. Though the land around you is besieged, Jerusalem remains a safe haven for the Israelites of the kingdom of Judah. You can't imagine how one could rise from outside of here to be leader of what remains of the nation. You see, in the midst of all this turmoil, Israel was seeking a great and formidable king, one whose presence would command respect and could unify the nation, who could lead them out to battle to rout their enemies. Bethlehem Ephrathah was an insignificant city in the eyes of the Israelites, too small to be counted among the tribes of Judah, Micah tells us. It seems that Ephrathah was a smaller city in the area near the city of Bethlehem that was absorbed into it as it grew. A backwater, we might say. Certainly not the place one would expect a great king to arise from. Indeed, from a human perspective, this seems to be the most unlikely place that one is foretold should come from. But then, you think back through Israel's history, isn't that just God's way? You remember Jacob, who would become Israel, the trickster, younger brother of Esau. Yet he was the one through whom the promise of Abraham was to be fulfilled. And Joseph, also the youngest of his brothers, beaten and sold into slavery, only to rise to become the second most powerful man in Egypt, securing the Israelites' future. And of course, you consider King David himself, again the youngest, the tiny shepherd boy from, guess where, this same little backwater town, the son of Jesse, the Ephrathite of Bethlehem. He wasn't even thought worthy of being brought before Samuel to be considered for the kingship by his father, yet he became a giant slayer, the greatest human king Israel has known, to whom the promise of the Lord came through the prophet Nathan to establish his throne forever. Your attention is drawn back to Micah as the prophet continues. He shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and you shall dwell secure, for he will be great to the ends of the earth, and he will be peace. The words ring in your ears. Could it really be possible? Could one from David's line yet arise who would bring about such a turn of events, and even bring peace and security to such a war-torn place, especially from somewhere like Bethlehem? It must have been hard to imagine for them. When I look at our church, I wonder if at times it is still hard to imagine for us. The church has many enemies. They may not surround and siege us physically as they did to the kingdom of Judah, but make no mistake, the church is under continual attack. The media is often condemning the Christian faith. Many secular movements deride us and even seek to silence us. As the society around us continually lurches forward in its progressive strides, it puts pressure on the church to move with the times. We are told to keep up, lest we fade into obscurity. Even internally, we face similar movements. We have not been able to maintain the numbers with which we once flourished within this country. The LCA has been in decline for decades. Areas which were once strongholds have become desolate. Many churches have closed or merged. Our parishioners have been absorbed into other churches, or worse, left the church altogether. We haven't even been able to keep our own children in the fold. As such, we face stirrings from within to bring the church into the 21st century, to abandon antiquated teachings and embrace those of modern society, as if this could be the salvation for our dwindling congregations. Perhaps we here in the LCA could imagine ourselves in a similar way to Bethlehem Ephrathah, that most unlikely of places. We are not among the largest churches of Australia. In fact, our last national census removed Lutheran from the options of religion, relegating us to the category of other. In the eyes of the nation, we are no doubt seen as insignificant. In this little backwater of a church, could we perhaps read, "But you, LCA, who are too little to be among the churches of the census?" Yet, even in these circumstances, we have hope. Over the coming days, we will joyfully celebrate the fulfilment of this prophecy of Micah. The great King of Israel has come. Certainly, this was not the type of king anticipated by Israel, who would come to rally their armies against their human enemy. Instead, like his lowly coming born in the backwaters of Israel, his victory was accomplished in the most unexpected of ways. Beaten, cursed, and rejected, he was led not with a royal procession of glory to the throne as Israel cheered, but with a shameful procession of mockery to the humiliation of the cross as they jeered. They failed to recognise that the one they tormented was the very one promised, the King from eternity, God himself come to free his people, the backwater Messiah born in obscurity. Despised and shunned, he took upon himself the great enemy, not just of Israel, but of all people. As he was crucified, dead and buried, so too were the sins of all. And as he rose again on that glorious day, his victory was completed. The enemy was left in the grave, utterly defeated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice. The spoils of this war against evil are given to you. Though we may be a backwater of a church, the stream of living water flowed over you in your baptism. When you received Christ and all that he has done for you in those precious waters combined with his word, you were granted the right to be called children of God, children with whom he is well pleased. You now live under the protection of this King from anything that would try to harm you. His heavenly Father has become your Father, and you now dwell in peace, not of this world, but from eternity, a peace that surpasses all human understanding. And it is Christ who stands and shepherds this flock. Like the lowly shepherd boy David, a type of the King who was to come, Christ ensures his sheep are well fed. Even in his birth, we see how God was pointing to this. Born in the city of Bethlehem, translated as the house of bread or food, he was placed in a manger, the feeding trough of animals. Each time you gather together around the Lord's table to obey his command to eat and drink, Christ gives to you his flesh as real food and his blood as real drink, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, nourishing your soul. Like David, who protected his flock from the lion and the bear, Christ the Good Shepherd went even further and laid down his own life for the sheep, rescuing you from the power of sin, death, and the devil. And he has given you his Holy Spirit as a seal to show that you are his, under his protection. As King David united together all the tribes of Israel under the worship of the one true God, so Christ brings together people from all nations, uniting them in the worship of the very same God. And this he does in the very strength and majesty of God himself, as indeed he is God incarnate, the Word become flesh. And there is more to this story. Every week, as we meet together in the very presence of this King long foretold amongst us, he speaks to us. As the word is proclaimed, we hear Christ himself. As we receive absolution after our confession, it is Christ who announces this forgiveness of sins for his sake. In this little backwater of a church, the King dwells among us. The prophecy of Micah, the promise to David, has been fulfilled. The ruler from ancient days, from eternity, has taken his throne, and he will reign forever. And even as he dwells with us, this King is still coming into the world today, as his work is being done in our presence. As Christ's word is faithfully taught and preached, his Holy Spirit moves through it to stir the hearts of those who hear, bringing to faith those the Father wills. As we take our hope in him to those around us, our friends, families and colleagues, his presence goes with us. His word achieves what it sets out to do. As we live the life of the church, his kingdom comes and is here. The reign of this King has begun and is in our very presence. We live in a time of now and not yet, though. We are still amidst the world. We have been saved by grace through faith in the death and resurrection of our King, and Christ reigns in the church. Yet we still await the time when he shall come in glory to judge the living and the dead. It is then that we shall dwell secure in eternity, as his name reaches to the ends of the earth, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Christ is Lord. For now, our hope is in what is to come, even as it is here with us. As we move forward in this world as Christ's body, we must continually bring our focus back to who he is and what he has done and continues to do for us. The answers to our questions of falling memberships and struggles to maintain our congregations do not lie in this world, but only in his word. Though we may lament our present state, we can rest assured that our God, whose promises are all yes in Christ, is with us. Our good shepherd knows the state of his church. He knows the struggles that we face, the concerns we have as we seem to dwindle in numbers. And friends, I assure you that God is not done with us yet. As we faithfully preach Christ crucified, surely it is a stumbling block to some and folly to others. But to those who are called, it is the power and the wisdom of God. Though it may be tempting for us to look at our situation and wonder what good can come from it, we must never forget that we have a God who works in the most mysterious of ways. In the eyes of the world, we have nothing to give. Yet, in this backwater of a church, the Son of God comes to us through word and sacrament. And as we go out from here into the world as Christ's hands and feet, he goes with us. He has become the ruler of the new Israel, the church, and he shepherds this flock in strength and majesty, and he alone shall be our peace. Amen.